Ezekiel 37 is where we will be at today. So however you engage in Scripture, I encourage you to find Ezekiel chapter 37. And as you're making your way there, let's pray together. Open, Lord, my eyes that I may see. Open, Lord, my ears that I may hear. Open, Lord, my heart and my mind that I may understand. And so shall I turn to you and be healed. And all who agree, say with me. Amen. A goal for this series is focused on answering a number of things, but specifically one supposition that many of us have about life. And that is, too often we get caught up in building life resumes. We get caught up in simply maintaining the status quo. We get caught up in kind of just going about our day by day by day, moment by moment. But what you and I are really doing is we are building our own eulogies. We are in process of building our own obituaries. Because we are gifted with this one gift of life. We don't get another. One gift of life. Each one of us has the gift of the dash, if you will, that will eventually be on our headstone. The day that we are born, everything that we do in that one gift of the dash, and then the day of our death. And understanding that big picture reality of life that we are gifted with, and knowing what to do with that dash, is eternally important. There are three main verses that are driving this series. The first one comes from Psalm chapter 90, verse 12. That'll be on the screen. The psalmist says, "Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Just this big picture, this big life verse, this big life goal type of direction that the psalmist is giving us about paying attention to the gift of the days that we have, the gift of each breath of life that we have, so that when we pay attention to that, when we number our days, something happens. We gain a heart of wisdom. Something happens in us, into us, when we pay attention that life is just a vapor. Life in and of itself is just a breath, if you will. So Lord, teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Another passage is Hebrews chapter 2, beginning in verse 14. "Since the children," us, humanity, "have flesh and blood, He," referring to Jesus, "He shared in their humanity so that by His death He might break the power of Him who holds the power of death. That is the devil. And free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death." Powerful words about something that Jesus accomplished on the cross. Yes, talking about the forgiveness of our sins. Yes, talking about the breakdown of the principalities and the powers that are at work in this world are all really, really important things to focus on and to build a really good theology around. But the Hebrews author says that Jesus' cross broke the power of Him who holds the power of death. The adversary, our enemy, the one from the beginning whose goal and agenda was to disrupt everything in Genesis 1 that God claimed as good, including His own creation and including us who are made in the Creator's likeness and image. The adversary from the very beginning is, how can I weasel and disrupt all that the Creator God named and claimed as good? The Hebrews author says the cross broke that power. Do you believe it? That's almost what I wish the Hebrews author would have added there at the end. And there would have been an altar call and the service would have been over and we could have gone on about our day. But the invitation is, do you believe that? Do you believe that the cross of Jesus is so powerful and did so much to human history that it killed Satan's power over death? That's an invitation of this series. Do you believe it? And do you believe enough to allow it to disrupt and dismantle your own fear of death? The Hebrew author says boldly that Jesus' death broke the power of the adversary. Jesus' death resulted in a freedom campaign for all of us who are held captive by the fear of death. So how might you and I see the gift of life from such a perspective? How might this massive statement about Jesus move you and inspire you to live more courageously? Not more ignorantly and foolishly, like getting on ladders and going up really high and then having a month of pain because of it. But courageously, wisely. Lord, teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Courageously, more intentional about living, loving, and serving well. Richard Beck, in his book, The Slavery of Death, makes this really strong argument about at times humanity has this difficulty in completely giving oneself over to service. There is this fear of death that is connected to our unwillingness to truly serve. There's this fear of exposure, this fear of failure, this fear of being found out that prevents us from living well, from loving well, and from serving well. And Richard makes a very good argument. It is connected to fear. And for many of us, it is connected to the fear of death. There's just another statement that's been driving this verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26, where we are told that death is not something that God rejoices in. In fact, according to Paul here, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Now, death can be a release from the pains and the suffering that we go through in life. And according to Psalm 116, God looks on death, those who are faithful to Him, God looks at it favorably. But death in and of itself was not a part of God's original plan. It's not something that God rejoices in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Paul says clearly that death is an enemy of God. A couple weeks ago, we looked at some passages in Luke. We looked at some stories, this sandwich story where death is all involved. And we looked at how we are Easter people living in a Good Friday world where the realities and the fruits of Jesus' resurrection do something in us and they do something to us. In one of the Apostle Paul's most theologically rich texts in all of his letters, his plea for followers of Jesus is to get this. Romans 8, verse 11. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. And we just pause and let that sink in. Paul's argument here, Paul's plea here. If the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. And the question for followers of Jesus, like so many within Paul's letters or within the Gospels, is, do you believe it? Is this claim so outlandish that you're like, you know what? No, that's not for me. Or do you actually believe it? That the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead can give your life, your mortal body, life. Same Spirit living in you. that raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. Now, there will come a day when this trumpet call goes off. And there will be, I don't know what Jesus is going to say. He may say, enough is enough. Everybody rise. And there will be this resurrection from the dead. And everything that we think about, there's no way that the resurrection can really happen. What about the people lost at sea? What about cremation? What about all that stuff? God spoke existence into creation, right? He spoke creation into existence with just His Word. Something out of nothing. I think He can raise us from the dead with the same Word. This statement from Paul reminds me of a graveyard scene in the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel 37 verses 1 through 14 follows some of my own personal favorite promises in all the biblical narrative. Ezekiel 37 verses 26 and 27. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, a heart that is soft, a heart that feels, a heart that is moved. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. One plea that I have for maybe someone in the room this morning or someone who is listening and worshiping online is if you can name your heart of stone, if you can be honest about your lack of empathy or your lack of sympathy or just, you know what, I am angry all the time. You use language like, I hate that person, or I hate that group of people, or I hate that blue team that's just north of here, or the team in Los Angeles that's currently beating my Yankees. If you can name that, and then with all seriousness, say, God, you made a promise here in Ezekiel. You made a promise about something you will do. I am bringing before you my heart of stone. I want this heart of flesh. I want this heart that is open to feel and to receive and be moved by your word, by your decrees, by your laws. I want your spirit driving my spirit towards you, towards love, towards goodness, towards truth. Maybe this verse is a verse you needed to hear this morning about a promise God makes. I will do this. I will give you a heart that feels for me and for my ways. And what follows into 37 is the Lord takes Ezekiel to a graveyard. This text was made for Halloween. Ezekiel 37, beginning in verse 1. The hand of the Lord was on me, and He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" Ezekiel said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I," you see the engagement here? "I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life." Breath there in Hebrew is this massive word called ruach. And it's such a creative word that it can mean breath, it can mean wind, and it can refer to God's own spirit. I will spirit enter you. I will make spirit enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put spirit in you, breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Praise be to God. God takes Ezekiel to the middle of a graveyard and says to him, "This is what my people look like. Dim bones, they are dry as could be." He wants Ezekiel to see and to feel the deadness of his people. And before he sends Ezekiel out, God first desires Ezekiel to feel the weight of what has happened to his people. Feel their dryness. Feel their hopelessness. See their dryness. See their hopelessness. And he offers Ezekiel an opportunity to care. He offers Ezekiel an opportunity for empathy, for sympathy. He offers Ezekiel an opportunity. Do you care about the dryness and the hopelessness, the deadness of these bones? The physical dryness of the bones is a clear connection to the spiritual condition of their hearts, their own spiritual lifelessness. Ezekiel, can these bones come back to life? Ezekiel, can humanity, can my family, can my marriage, can my faith, can my coworkers, my students, my neighbors, can they come back to life? And this is what he tells Ezekiel. Speak these words of encouragement and life to your marriage, to your neighbors, to your home, to your workplace, to your students. Rise up. Be filled with my breath. Be filled with my spirit. I will fill you with my breath, and you will live. There is no life outside of the Spirit of God living in us. Those without the Spirit of the living God living in them are zombies walking in the earth. But for followers of Jesus, that is not your truth. That is not your victorious life, as Doug spoke to about the communion. You have the Spirit of the living God. The same Spirit, according to Paul in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, that raised Jesus from the dead. And if that Spirit raised Jesus from the dead, why can't it give your life, your mortal body, life and purpose and will? Ezekiel says here, God gives Ezekiel permission. Speak life into this, and you will live. Then and only then will the promise of all promises come true. They, you and I and our neighbors, will know the Lord. The connection between life and knowing the Lord cannot be overstated here. The connection between life and truly living and knowing the Lord cannot be overstated enough. Verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. I spoke God's word, God's truth. I spoke it. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. These verses spoke to me so powerfully this week. What we have here is walking zombies, if you will. We have people walking and doing stuff, but there's no breath in them. There's no life in them. There's no wind in them, if you will. There's nothing driving them, directing them, guiding them in life. They're just walking zombies, looking for the next thing to desire and consume and devour. God's people walking around going through the motions week in and week out without any awareness that they are not fully complete. There was no breath. There was no spirit in them. Verse 9. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath. Come, spirit. From the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood upon their feet, this vast army. The connection between caring, obeying, God answering, and God moving is absolutely convicting in this text. Come, breath. Come, spirit. It's like God is inviting Ezekiel to tell God to do something. Come, God. Come, spirit. Fill this dryness and bring it back to life. Come, spirit. And God answers with an astounding yes. I will come. And life is coming with me. Church, we have a message of hope in life that is unlike anything else. If you took a pause on your Christian faith for a month, how do you think you would feel? No more worship, no more Sundays, no more daily devotionals, no more daily scripture, no more nothing. I'm going to take a 100% complete break from my Christian identity and my Christian life. What type of life do you think you would have? Weak. It's a good one. Empty. Torture. Hopelessness. Hard. Dark. Pain. We have a message of hope that is unlike anything else this world has to offer. And for the most part, we unfortunately keep it to ourselves. We have this fear of something. We're scared of rejection. We're scared of saying the wrong things. We're scared and intimidated because we think we don't know enough Bible. We are scared and intimidated that it will become awkward and uncomfortable. So we wait and we wait and we wait for the perfect opportunity that never, ever seems to come. And then we read this text. The Lord takes Ezekiel into the middle of a graveyard and says, do you want to join in with me with what I am doing? Do you want to join me in this speaking of life into dead things? It's pretty fun. It's pretty awesome. Watch and see what I do. Come, spirit. Come, breath. God, join me as I work on this coworker, as I work with you with this coworker. Holy Spirit, join me as I work with my kids on teaching them and embodying them and showing them this is what the love of God looks like. Come, Spirit, as I talk with my neighbor. Come, Spirit, as I talk with students that I work with every single day. Come, Spirit, bring your life into this situation. In Ezekiel 37, God is taking His messenger, His messengers, into the middle of a graveyard with a message of hope for the spiritual condition of a people that is worse than they could possibly imagine, but with a message of good, good news that God is not done with them. There is hope. There is this radical command. There is this radical opportunity with this radical obedience that Ezekiel shows us is just not for Ezekiel. It's for us as well. That God will follow through with His promise. If you ask God to come with you in a certain situation, you better believe it that God's going to be with you. Even if it's not immediate, even if your expectations of results do not come with the snap of a finger, it does not mean that God was not with you. And it does not mean that God will not be with you every single time you say, "Come on, Holy Spirit, let's go. We got some work for you to do that I know you want to do. You want to breathe life. You want to breathe hope. You want to breathe purpose into this." And what's awesome about this, it has nothing to do with Ezekiel's eloquence. It has nothing to do with Ezekiel's style, Ezekiel's personality. This is about Ezekiel's obedience to God's promises. It's not about our eloquence. It's not about our style, our personality. It's about our obedience. And watch what God does. Verse 11, "Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off.'" Maybe another way of saying it is, "He said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of my church in America. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is cut off. We are gone. We have no hope.'" Maybe another way of saying it, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of church in the falls. Others say that our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves. I'm going to open the graves of your mind, your heart, and your will, and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. I will bring you back. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. I'm going to settle you. I'm going to calm you. I am going to bring peace to you. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken. I have done it, declares the Lord." Their sins, Israel's sins, your sins, our sins, have not and cannot outrun God's grace. Their disappointment has not outrun God's power or God's purposes and plan. God says, "Here I am, ready to do something new among the people." And he looks at Ezekiel and says, "Do you want to join with me in what I am doing? I can bring dead things back to life. Ezekiel, you want to join? I can bring hope where there's hopelessness. Ezekiel, do you want to join? I can bring breath and life where there is none. Ezekiel, do you want to join?" Arise, team. Y'all can join me up here. The Lord promises, "I will put my spirit in you to move you to someone, to a person, to a people who has lost hope, to tell them, to tell him, to tell her some good news of resurrection life. There is hope. Rise up, people of God, and be filled with the Spirit. Rise up, daughters and sons of the resurrected King, and be filled with the Spirit. Rise up, people of God. Dim bones, God says, I will speak life to them, and they will rise, come to life." Stand with me, church. As we close out our service today, if anyone would like to receive prayers from your church family, please come down here and see me. If you would like a more private place, we have a lady prayer warrior out by our prayer room, and we will have a shepherd or two out there ready to receive anybody. But before we sing this final song, let's pray together. Father, for the gift of today, we thank you. For the gift and the authority and the wonderful way in which your word can creatively speak to us. Thank you. God, thank you for speaking life into dead things like myself. Thank you, Father, for speaking life into dead things like my brothers and sisters in here. We are lost without your breath. We are lost without your spirit. God, may we be willing and open, just like Ezekiel, to speak life, to speak breath, to speak hope into what looks like impossible situations. And God, may we find you right there alongside us. We need you, God. Thank you for this word from Ezekiel. May we choose to believe it, and may we choose to desire to live it out. In the name of Jesus, we pray and give thanks. All who agree, say with me, amen. Let's worship together.